This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina is considered a battleground state in the race between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. That means an army of strategists are marching through the state with money and political ads. You've probably seen at least one by now, maybe something like this.
In 1996, President Clinton and a bipartisan Congress helped end welfare as we know it by requiring work for welfare. But on July 12th, President Obama quietly announced a plan to gut welfare reform by dropping work requirements. Under Obama's plan, you wouldn't have to work and wouldn't have to train for a job. They just send you your welfare check. And welfare to work goes back to being plain old welfare. Mitt Romney will restore the work requirement because it works.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Or maybe you're an Obama fan, so you've turned that one off, but then you did watch this one.
John McCain doesn't think Mitt Romney is cut out to lead America's foreign policy.
I've raised it many times, is whether you have the experience and the judgment to lead this country in the war against radical Islamic extremism.
Mitt Romney may have no experience fighting terror, but he does have some experience with foreign countries, sending our jobs to them. As governor of Massachusetts, Romney vetoed a law that would have prevented outsourcing and stopped taxpayer money from funding jobs outside the U.S. Sending taxpayer money abroad? Outsourcing jobs to foreign workers? That's not the kind of international experience we can afford.
Right, so they're in support of different candidates, but they do share one thing in common. They're both negative. They're attack ads, and they've become a staple of the campaign diet. Well, News and Observer political reporter Rob Christensen's been paying attention to these ads for quite a while, and he says North Carolina has played a big role in propagating these sorts of campaign tactics. He's going to host a program at the North Carolina Museum of History this Sunday from 2 to 3 called Tar Heel Political Commercials, Hide the Children. Rob Christensen joins us now. Welcome, Rob. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here, Brian.
What is North Carolina's role in these insidious, nefarious campaign ads that we so hate?
Well, North Carolina has actually been a pioneer in all this. We think this just didn't happen this year, although we've had something like $60 million worth of presidential ads this year and about almost $20 million of governor's ads. But North Carolina has been a leader, for better or worse, in political ads, and in particularly negative political ads, going back to the early 1980s. And there's several reasons why North Carolina's been a leader. One of the reasons is that Senator Jesse Helms and his political organization in the early 1980s began cutting-edge political ads, and particularly negative ads. They developed this negative ads and political ads, and it was a way to overcome an entrenched Democratic political organization in the state. And some of the people that they used to help develop those ads went on to become cut national ads for presidential campaigns, Republican presidential campaigns. And so once the Republicans began it, the Democrats answered in kind. Another reason why North Carolina has become became a kind of a pioneer is that the state is very closely divided. It's not never been a traditionally just a Republican state or Democratic state. It's a very closely divided state, and that's been true for a very long time. And when you have a very closely divided state, you have a lot of money pouring into the state, and you have a lot of ads being put up. And when you have a closely divided state, you have everything but the kitchen sink thrown in. So we've had over the years, you know, hot button issues like race and gender and gay rights and all sorts of other issues being brought up, because if you feel like you're close, you just throw this one more issue, be thrown into the race, and that'll be enough to turn the election.
Well, so let's go back. You talked about Jesse Helms and some of the ads, and I think the most infamous is the famous White Hands ad when Jesse Helms was in a race against Harvey Gantt.
You needed that job, and you were the best qualified, but they had to give it to a minority because of a racial quota. Is that really fair? Harvey Gantt says it is. Gantt supports Ted Kennedy's racial quota law that makes the color of your skin more important than your qualifications. You'll vote on this issue next Tuesday. For racial quotas, Harvey Gantt. Against racial quotas, Jesse Helms.
Of course, here's where we're at a disadvantage, because we don't see those white hands throwing out that layoff.
No. Well, it was a very powerful image. It was a pair of white hands in a kind of a plaid shirt, kind of a working working guy kind of ads, and he was crumbling up a job application. And that was in the 1990 Senate race. And that ad came out at a time when Harvey Gantt was the mayor of Charlotte, an African-American, was running a very close race against Republican Senator Jesse Helms. And at that point, it was not clear whether Helms was going to win re-election. And the Helms people were very, very concerned. And if Gantt had won, he'd have been the first African-American elected to the United States Senate in the South since Reconstruction. And we just within about 2 weeks to go before the election, the Helms organization was looking for some sort of ad that would help to turn the election, and that's what they turned to. And it was that became one of the most famous ads, not only in North Carolina history, but in American political history. Okay. That's shown over and over again. That's that Hands ad. And, of course, it was using racial cues and affirmative action. And it was a very, very powerful ad.
And it worked.
And it
worked.
I mean,
that's the significant thing. It really turned the tide.
Right. Although the Helms people, in retrospect, say that there was actually a twin ad with that, that they say was actually even more powerful, but had the same theme, although it gets less attention. And that actually the subject of that ad was whether Harvey Gantt used his race to get a to help get a TV station in Charlotte to get a license for a TV station. So that's the ad they say that was actually more effective.
And there's actually an audio cue in that too. When you listen to it, it is interesting. You don't get the real punchline because you can't see the hands. But the way that that narrator used the word minority, he spits it out as though it were the epithet that he really meant. And you can hear a minority. Got it. So there are all these elements that are subtle, but in other ways negative. And because this is a bipartisan practice these days, there was a campaign, of course, between Jesse Helms and Jim Hunt, and Jim Hunt famously used the same kind of ad.
This is what they do, the death squads in El Salvador. Innocent men, women, and children murdered in cold blood. This is the man accused of directing those death squads, Roberto Daubuisson. And this is the man whose aides helped Daubuisson set up his political party in El Salvador. This is Roberto Daubuisson's best friend in Washington, maybe his only friend. Now, Jesse Helms may be a crusader, but that's not what our senator should be crusading for.
Same thing, trying to link Jesse Helms with war crimes in El Salvador.
And this was an ad that was run in the 1984 Senate race which Democratic Governor, then Democratic Governor Jim Hunt, was trying to unseat Republican Senator Jesse Helms. And that was, in fact, the most expensive Senate race in American political history. It's since been surpassed. And here the Hunt campaign was trying to paint Helms as a political extremist and trying to align him with extreme regimes around the world, including the South African apartheid regime and so forth. And this was a case where they aligned him with right-wing death squads in El Salvador. And this was a quite shocking ad. This is where you can't see it because we're on the radio, but that actually showed dead bodies. And this was maybe in the day today when CNN, where you can see all sorts of things, it wouldn't be quite as shocking today, but in 1984, when people see this ad and they were sitting there eating their dinner, to see dead bodies show up on the screen was quite shocking, and the sound of gunshots and so forth. And this is in fact a case where negative ads can go too far, and so this ad actually there was such a harsh reaction to this ad that it was pulled after several days. Because people felt it went too far, and the Hunt people, after it ran several days, felt like there was such that it was too raw,
right.
And they pulled it back.
And Jim Hunt, of course, didn't win that race. Do you think how much did that ad play a part in that, or he wasn't going to win anyway?
No, well, that ad didn't really play a part. But I would go back and talk. People talk about how sick of ads they are today. I would go back and note that. The 1984 Senate race, the ad campaigns in that race began in April of 1983 and went from April 1983 all the way until November 1984. They took 1 week off at Christmas in 1983, kind of a peacetime They took the week off, and that, and but that went for like 23 months, whatever, with political ads. So you can imagine how sick they were, political ads.
Well, I want to examine both of these thoughts. I'm sick of these things and that they work. First, I'm sick of them. Look, isn't that what we do in journalism? Isn't that what you do at the NNO? It's an attack, right? When you do good investigative journalism, you say that, you know, when you take on the SBI, you say, look, these people did these things and it's wrong. I mean, that's an attack. And don't we want that? Isn't that due diligence? Isn't that what over? And if I'm running for office, shouldn't I point out that the other guy is doing these things that you don't want him in office or her?
Well, that does get into a point. What is, in fact, an attack ad? And it is, in fact, fair game to point out what the difference is between candidate X and candidate Y. And so comparison is actually what is providing useful information. We don't want ads to simply say candidate X is a good family man and loves his children and loves his country, because that doesn't really provide a lot of useful information, and you don't even know if it's true or not. So these ads, in fact, that do provide some useful information, that candidate A stands for something and candidate B stands for something different, if it's actually truthful, actually is providing some useful information. But, you know, it's interesting, as people always say, you ask them, do they like negative ads? They always say that they do not like it, that they hate them. But, you know, political commercials are really different from commercials for other products. So, you know, you don't ever see, in, for example, in selling automobiles, you never see Ford Motor Company saying, remember Pearl Harbor, don't buy a Toyota. Or, you know, you don't see General Motors saying, don't buy a Ford, it'll break down by the side of the road and leave your family stranded and in bad shape. So there's just a whole different way that candidates sell themselves or sell their parties in a way that other products don't sell. And there's a reason for that. And that is, I think that there is a really deep-seated American skepticism that goes back to the very founding of the country about politicians and politics. And so people tend not to believe when a candidate says something good about themselves. They tend not to believe that. And they don't exactly believe the negative commercials either, but they think that there may be something to it. And so the negative ads tend to stick. And people say they don't believe it, but when you go into these focus groups and you ask them, what do you think about candidate X, they will often repeat back without realizing it some of the things that they've heard, even as they say, I hate those negative ads. And then you ask them about candidate X, and they say, well, I don't like candidate X because of these three reasons. Yeah. And it's the very things that they've heard on TV in the negative ad.
Yeah, if they weren't working, they wouldn't be spending $60 million on them in one state. So, Rob, always a pleasure talking with you.
Sure.
Rob Christensen, political reporter and columnist for The News and Observer, going to be at the North Carolina Museum of History this Sunday from 2 to 3. Name of the program, Tar Heel Political Commercials, Hide the Children. For more information, go to Museum of History. ncmuseumofhistory.org. That's our program for today. Thanks for listening to The State of Things on North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.